This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Back to another edition of the Night Report podcast. I'm your host, Mike Broadbent. Joining me once again is my co-host, Richie O'Leary. Almost stumbled over that one again. Yeah. But we got a lot to talk about. We're going to go over Rutgers' loss to Nebraska on Sunday. We have quite a few updates with where Rutgers recruits in basketball stand in their high school playoff marches. A lot of really, really incredible performances from three of our commitments, so that'll be cool to go over. We also have some recruiting updates. We have a new official visitor in the class of 2025 we'll talk about, and we're gonna start to stick our toe in the water of what could be coming in terms of portal season. But first, this podcast, our presenting sponsor is Night and Day Apparel. Calling all Rutgers students, alumni, and fans, are you looking for new and unique Rutgers merchandise? Night and Day Apparel has you covered. From t-shirts and hoodies to drinkware and pet accessories, Night and Day focuses on providing the Rutgers community with exclusive, one-of-a-kind tailgating products. Be sure to check out the links in today's podcast description to their website and social media so you can stay on top of everything Night and Day, including new merch drops and promotional announcements. Shop now and keep shopping. Again, can't recommend their stuff more. We saw some of the stuff they're going to put out this spring. Really excited to see it. We're also brought to you by the Cut app. I love betting and betting on anything, sports, games, who's fast. That's kind of what the Cut app allows you to do. The Cut app is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40 plus states. They have customizable odds, tracking ability, an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. You don't need Venmo. All the payments go through the app. One I'm looking at right now is, will Deion Sanders be on the cover of NCAA football 25? I'm going to say no. That's at minus 600. Yes, if you think he is, he's going to be at plus 600. I don't see any way he is. The bet I like terms of who's going to be on the cover is Nick Saban. I think they're going to honor the GOAT of college football coaching, even odds if you want to bet on if he will be on the cover or not. And I think it's pretty strong because they also have those legacy editions. They have multiple editions of each cover. So
does that
I think
count?
It's a pretty strong bet.
That's the question. Like, does the legacy edition count? Because if it does, then
I think it's pretty clear. Yeah, will he be on the cover of NCAA College Football 25? I'm going to go with yes. So that's my bet on that. Use our promo code BelieveRutgers for a 10% welcome bonus, and don't forget to use that promo code. Put your money where your mouth is.
BLEAV, not Believe.
BLEAV Rutgers.
Yep.
All right. So let's talk about the Rutgers basketball game from Sunday. Rutgers lost 67-56 at Nebraska. It shouldn't be a surprise. Nebraska is one of the best teams in the country on their home court this year. Nebraska improves to 21-9, 11-8 in the conference. Rutgers falls to 15-14 overall, 7-11 in the conference. This is a game that Nebraska didn't really play that well. We held them to 10 points below their season average in terms of point production. Rutgers just couldn't buy a basket. You know, as a team, they were once again terrible. They shot 32.8% from the field, 16% from three. They shot 52% from the line. I mean, at some point, you know, we are what we are. We can't shoot. You know, we are a bad offensive team. We have one, sometimes two productive guys on offense, and then you just got to hope somebody has one of their three or four hot games during the season. I mean, Jeremiah Williams has been a godsend. He led the way with 14 points on 6 of 12 shooting. The rest of the team was a combined 15 for 52 shooting. So
not great.
Not great. What was kind of your overall takeaway from the game on Sunday?
I mean, I hate to say it. They were never probably going to win this one. Their only loss for Nebraska at home for them this year is against Creighton. And Creighton is obviously an in-state team and one of the better teams in the country. I think they're number like 11 or 12 in the net rankings currently. Other than that, like, Rutgers went into this one as 9-point dogs. Like, I didn't see this one happening. Yes, Rutgers did beat them earlier in the season in overtime, nonetheless, but it's just there's so many inconsistencies with this team, especially on the offensive end. The defense has been still solid. Like, 67 points isn't really anything too crazy.
That's great. That's great for Nebraska, especially. Nebraska's one of the highest scoring teams in the Big Ten. Yeah. They shoot a ton of threes. They held them at bay, honestly. They shot 27 threes. They only made 9. So that's not the reason we lost. We lost because we couldn't make our own shots.
Yeah. I mean, when you have your backcourt, your starting backcourt going 1 of 12, that's probably going to do it. Then you add in, not 1 of 12, 2 of 16, the starting backcourt, and then Hyatt went 1 of 6. And then there's three of your top scorers scoring a total of 6 points in total. It's just bad. Cliff, non-existent, 2 rebounds. I can't stress this enough. I know he has some good games where he gets like double-digit boards. Like, I think it was the game before this. He had, 15, 16?
Yep.
But then you see this game, and you're like, what the hell, man? Like, I as that guy, as that big of a guy you are, and as strong as you are, as muscular as you are, you can't be getting 2 rebounds as my starting center. And if my starting center's, and you kind of saw, like, Pike started to go with other guys because he put Wolfolk in for 18 minutes. And Wolfolk had 9 boards, 9 points. Like,
excellent in those 18 minutes. I mean, Wolfolk, he hasn't really played a whole lot this mm-hmm. month in general. I think he hadn't played in the previous 3 or 4 games at least.
Yeah.
Then he steps in for 18 minutes, 9 points, 9 rebounds, mm-hmm. a steal, you know, 2 assists. Like, he didn't perform well from the line. He was 1 of 5 there, but that was the only blemish on his game. He played I give him all the credit in the world for having this kind of performance after being seemingly in the doghouse for, you know, a month.
Yeah. No, it's insane. But offense was just non-existent. Like you said, the only guy that really was there, I guess you could argue Wolfark was there too. Mm-hmm. But Jeremiah Williams was the only dude that was actually like hitting a legitimate shot. There's nothing. This offense is so stagnant at times. It's so ugly at times. The backcourt, I don't know what you do there because like they're just missing like easy stuff. Again, like Derek Simpson's so inconsistent at times. And I can't even just point to him because Jermichael Davis went 0-6. Like, they're both just really inconsistent. But I can't play a guy 30 minutes when he's 2 of 10. Like, maybe it's just me, but I thought that was a little wild to keep playing him and keep him in the game. I mean, but there's no one else that can really dribble.
He is a much better defender this year than he was last year. I'll give him that credit. He's really elevated his game. He's borderline. He's a great defender. I wouldn't say he's an elite defender, but he has stepped his game up there. So you need to play him because of that. But I mean, that's like half the team is just like playing for their defensive prowess. We need to really develop guys offensively next year. Like Griffiths, they've started to play more. Thankfully, he played 21 minutes, shot 3 of 10, 2 of 6 from deep. He had the only 2 blocks on the team, on Sunday. He had 2 blocks, 10 points, 3 rebounds. He gives a shit. You could tell. He's going out there. He's, you know, hustling. Yeah. He's one of the only guys that are fighting for rebounds. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if everybody's just banged up and run out of steam or just, I don't know. There seems to be just kind of a general malaise that this team is playing with right now that you can't really win with. So it's a shame that, you know, I feel like only 3 guys really went out and gave a good performance on Sunday, and Jeremiah Williams, Antoine Wolfolk, and Gavin Griffiths. You know, Fernandes was decent too, but I mean, he's not really the best defender. Even he did have 2 steals, but he's just not the kind of guy you can throw out against like one of the better offensive players on the other team. But it's just, I don't feel like this team is really kind of pushing itself right now, which is a shame because they still do have a shot at making the NIT. Like one of the NIT bracketologists, yeah, they do have those as Rutgers in the field. So they must predict Rutgers is going to win one of their last two and a Big Ten tournament game because that's kind of how they have to. You can't make the NIT with a losing record.
Yeah.
Even with the new rules.
Yeah, I was going to say the new rules kind of allow you to pick and choose kind of whoever you want, it seems like. So, of course, they're going to go with the high majors that are going to draw more attention, more TV, more revenue, more seats, more tickets, whatever. So they have a good shot there, but I don't know. There's a lot of issues with this team. And I know we've highlighted it a couple times, but like we've talked about how even in preseason, all throughout preseason, how this is going to be a much faster paced team. And it might not look like it because they're not hitting shots, but it is. Like they're up 85 spots in tempo this year alone.
Yeah.
They're number three in a Big Ten, I think it is. Number four in a Big Ten in terms of tempo, according to KenPom. So it's not like, I still think it's more of a square peg round hole type situation. Like some of the players can play this up tempo ball. You see Jeremiah Williams thrive in it. You see Derek Simpson at times thrive in it, but then there's other times where he struggles mightily. It's just there's no one else that can score. That's all it is, really. I'm not saying even if Griffiths does go 5 of 10 and shoots 50% in this game instead of 30%, they still need more scoring. Like you need more than two guys that can score buckets. And right now they have legitimately one guy I trust every night to get me double digit points, and that's Jeremiah. The rest, I can't count on anyone to get a guaranteed double digits anymore. And that's really bad.
Yeah, and they are shooting better at the rim. Like on Sunday, they were 14 of 20 at the rim, which is well above their average. And that's the last few games they've been shooting above 65% at the rim, which is obviously awesome. You want to see that.
Yeah.
They continue to shoot way too many mid-range shots, and that's just going to be who they are, which is unfortunate. Yeah. They were 3 of 19 from mid-range. But this offseason, they have to make a massive change in their offensive philosophy. You can't. Like, sure, you're going to win more games next year than we did this year. That's basically a guarantee unless you get decimated by injuries. But, you know, if you have the talent, which you're going to have next year, you need to give them a system that just has these easy, kind of repeatable offensive sets that we don't really seem to run with a level of consistency that we should. We can't be shooting this many mid-range shots in the next season.
It's like I'm looking at the whole map. There's just I could probably pop it up real quick. It's just ugly. It's like what am I looking at here? Chrome tab. There we go. Like this is disgusting.
Oh my god.
Look how blue it is in the middle. Like number one, you shouldn't be missing 40%. I've had 27 from like in the paint, 33 in the paint. A little better there. But like 28, like 30, 10, like 27, 25, like it's brutal. And that's for the year. Like it's just, and the 3 points, like 28.9% on the year from 3-pointers is just brutal. Like
that's gotta be bottom. What? Bottom 5% in the NCAA?
It's something like that, I'm sure. It's just, it's absolutely brutal. At the rim, field goal percentage is 60%. It's not as bad, but it's a really ugly chart right now. Like you can even see it a little bit better down here when you look at the actual things, but actual zones, but there's just, it's all blue. It's never a good sign. 30% in just about every category, except top of the key, for some reason they shoot worse. It's 27%.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't get it, man. It's too much, like too much offensive woes on this team for it to be even slightly successful. And even if you make the NIT, I'm a little nervous you might lose again to like a random team like a Hofstra again or something like that. So yep. I know you have to do it. You have to accept it from Rutgers' perspective. I don't think you're in the same case or same category as like a North Carolina last year who went from what national championship caliber team to NIT, like I'm not taking or declining the NIT the year after. I don't think you're in the same boat as that. So I think you kind of have to accept it and maybe just get like the younger guys more minutes. Play them. Play like a Jamichael Davis. Play Gavin Griffiths. I know they're playing them now, but like you just got to figure out who's gonna be on this team next year and who's not. Like You got to kind of figure out your roster for next season, because this is going to be the most important season in maybe Rutgers basketball history.
Certainly the most important season in Steve Peichel's tenure at Rutgers. Is going to kind of, for better or for worse, set the tone of the rest of his tenure here. I mean, if he doesn't live up to the expectations in 24-25, like, the backlash is going to be pretty wicked from Rutgers fans. And
it's bad after this season.
Well,
for some of them. Some of them are
this season was always the caveat season. Yeah. Because we saw the defections that were there in the off season. Mm-hmm. We saw what was on the horizon. I mean, the amount of hype that we've all kind of fed into next year, even before this season even started, was kind of wild. And it's for a good reason. Like, this is unprecedented for Rutgers to have the level of talent they're bringing in next year. But I do wonder how much that had to play in how Rutgers has underperformed this year. Like, did guys just kind of like, you know, were they defeated from the outset because they kind of knew that, you know, maybe they weren't going to be on the team, people don't care this year, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And that's not fully true, because Rutgers fans have shown an incredible amount of support to this team, showing up, you know, midweek in March, or not in March, late February, when the team's clearly not making the tournament, and having near sellout crowds each night. But some stats on Rutgers' offensive woes this year. Effective field goal percentage, 43.9. That is 357th out of 362. Not great. Bottom five. 2-point field goal percentage, 44.1. That's 351st out of 362. 3-point field goal percentage, 28.9%. That's 345th out of 362. So bottom 15 in all those metrics. Not great. No. And it shouldn't surprise anybody to see us, you know, down at those levels if you've watched most of this season.
Just the way it is. It's not a good year.
Yeah. But let's talk about the future. So we talked about Rutgers basketball recruiting, having a bunch of guys deep in.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business
business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone.
The playoffs in their respective states. Yep. It's kind of go through each one, update where they are at, and kind of talk about their stats in the playoffs. So Dylan Harper, if you've been following on the boards, he won his state sectional championship last night against St. Peter's Prep.
Mm-hmm.
I think the final score was 56-42, if I'm recalling correctly, somewhere around there. He scored 38 of the 56 points for Don Bosco. He went off, and he's been going off all playoffs. He's averaging almost 27 points per game in the playoffs. They play on Friday at the Rack against Paul VI at 5 p.m. So if you can make that game, I think Rutgers fans should really show out. Show how much we appreciate him. And it'll be his final high school game. So this will be the last chance we have to see him in a high school uniform. He still has the All-Star games. I know he's going to be in the McDonald's All-American game. I think he probably will play another one or two. But Friday at the Rack, 5 p.m., Don Bosco Prep plays Paul VI. Be there if you can. It'll be a pretty great atmosphere, I imagine. But it is a bit short notice. It's 3 days away.
Yeah,
but that's when his next game will be played.
I do have to say something about this. So I had a buddy of mine text me yesterday during Harper's thing and watching it on the NJ.com stream thingy. And he texted me this. He goes, "Hey, I have a buddy who's at the game. He's a former St. Peter's Hooper. Doesn't really follow recruiting." He just texts him. He goes, "This kid's going to Rutgers? What? I've never seen anything like this in my life. The 3-point shooting, the finish, everything. He's on a totally different level. If I didn't see it in person, I wouldn't have believed it. Rutgers is going to be epic. These kids usually go to SEC schools or big time basketball. This was like watching LeBron James prey on children out there." he goes fast to the rim, always finishes. He's every three. That was just crazy to see in person. And this is a guy that played like legitimate high school basketball at Prep. So it's like, it's insane. People don't realize how crazy this is going to get.
Yeah. To have more than half of your team's points in a state sectional championship against one of the better teams in the state. He's just a big game performer. You've seen it. I think he was the leading scorer in the under 21 tournament for the U.S. in Turkey this offseason. Like, he's won camp MVPs. Like, the guy is just a big game player, and I think you're going to see another big game from him on Friday too, because he wants to probably close his high school career out in a memorable fashion, and he's going to do it at his future home court. So that's even more the reason why you should go see him on Friday if you're available. But can't have much more high praise than you just said.
It's like a LeBron James preying on children.
that's awesome.
That's a hell of a quote.
Next up we have Ace Bailey, and I always mess up how it pronounces high school. It's McEachern? It's
McEachern. I believe.
So they won their Georgia 7A semifinal game on this past weekend. Ace had 30 plus points, but in the playoffs, in his four games in the state playoffs, he's averaging 32.5 points per game, 15.5 rebounds per game.
That's insane.
3.7 assists per game, 2.5 blocks per game. He is just a human highlight reel. There's been highlights from each of his games, and he basically can do whatever he wants on the court. It's filled with chase down blocks, deep threes, dunks, pull up hezzies. Like, he just does whatever he wants to on the high school basketball court. As high of praise as that your friend gave Dylan Harper, I think the praise for Ace is going to be even higher, because he does stuff that the combination of his offensive skill set and his frame is just so hard to find. He is truly close to a one-of-one in terms of a high school prospect. And his team is going to be playing on March 9th at the Macon Coliseum against Grayson High School. Grayson's one of the top programs in Georgia. I believe they're ranked 12th in the country by Max Preps, and McEachern is ranked 13th. So it's going to be 1-2 in the state of Georgia, playing at 7:30 on March 9th. Just an incredible senior year for Ace, and he'll look to close his high school career off with style with a Georgia 7A state championship.
This is like potential number one pick, and not this year, next year, but like it's, again, it's going to be crazy. He's that good. He just can do anything, can shoot from anywhere, can really do anything in the offensive end. He plays like a guard, but he's 6'10".
Yeah.
Like it's crazy to say that. And I keep saying I hate making this comparison, but it keeps coming a little more to fruition a little bit. It's not Kevin Durant. Like, he's got the Kevin Durant size and skill set a little bit. He's more like Paul George. He's just a taller version of Paul George. Like, he can, and it's like patent fadeaway in like the mid range now. It's like, holy shit, Rutgers shooting 18%, like we were just saying before, from the mid range. Yep. Look at this. That's, I guarantee you that's going to maybe double, maybe triple.
Yeah, I still don't think most people fully realize what basketball at the rack is going to be like next year. It's going to be one of the toughest tickets in college basketball. You're going to have NBA scouts at every game. You're going to have guys from the Knicks and the Nets sitting courtside. You're going to have random celebrities showing up to sit courtside. I do feel a bit bad for Rutgers. I don't know what they would call them, but the people who are responsible for sourcing tickets and security and things like
good
that.
Luck.
Yeah, it's going to be a nightmare.
It's going to be insane. Like, I was talking about it the other day with the SIDs and stuff, and they were all saying, like, you have no idea how many, like, random, like, because everyone thinks they're like a videographer now, because everyone makes like TikToks and stuff. How many random people are just asking for like credentials for next season already? He goes, like, obviously we didn't put it out yet, but like they're all asking for it. Like NBA scouts, like even this this preseason, then there's a Nets scout there. I'm talking to him and he's just sitting there like, oh man, you guys got Ace Bailey next year. That's going to be fun. And I'm like, that's what we're talking about? You're not watching this team right here?
Mm-hmm.
It's insane like how crazy it's going to be. They're trying to figure out where they're going to put the scouts. They're going to have to put them among the fans. There's going to be so many because you can't fit them in the press box because, number one, you need press. But ESPN's going to be there all the time. Like if Fox, whatever, sports, all that stuff, it's going to be nutty.
Press box is already cramped as it is, and that's just with the local writers. It's going to be tough. So another one of Rutgers' top recruits is having quite a playoff run too in Layton Somerville. Mm-hmm. So Layton Somerville's team is currently in the state semifinals for 3A in Illinois. The past two games, they upset number one in the whole state, according to Max Preps, in Thornton High School, 58-52. Mm-hmm. The week before that, in the sectional finals, they beat Metamora High School, who's ranked 9th, according to Max Preps, in Illinois, 61-55. He had 32 points in each of those games. The guy is just unstoppable on the high school level. His size and offensive game is just something you don't really see from a high schooler very often.
Let alone a 7-footer.
He's close to 7 feet tall. He's probably 260 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about him a lot. He's running through the Illinois State playoffs. They played DePaul College Prep on Thursday, I believe. Yeah, Thursday at 12:15 p.m., which is a little early for a game, but they'll be playing at 12:15 on March 7th. Big time matchup. I think DePaul College Prep is also ranked in the top 15 in the state of Illinois, according to Max Preps. So another big time matchup for him. Another opportunity. They're ranked 5th. Rich Woods, his high school, is ranked 4th. So another opportunity for him to show out and get another big-time win for his Richwoods High School program.
He's such a unique prospect, too, like you said. Offensively, like, he grew up as a guard, had a crazy growth spurt, and now he's a big man, like a legitimate center. But he still has that guard skill set. He grew up in Europe, too, and it's a totally different game learning over there. So that's also a little bit more unique and kind of where he gets his dribble moves and stuff from, it seems like. But it's going to be so intriguing to see how they use him next year. Even though I think it's either Quiff or a transfer that's going to start next year at the center spot, it's going to be hard to keep Lathan off the court. I think you start him slow, 5-10 minutes in a couple first games, get his feet a little wet, and then all of a sudden it could be your starting center by midseason.
Yeah, I could totally see it. I think his skill set is one that's going to be hard to keep off the court.
Yeah. Very good.
But another recruit who made it deep into his respective high school state playoff bracket is Bryce Dortch. His school, the Brimmer School, lost in the state championship on Sunday to Bradford Academy, I think it is.
Bradford Christian, yeah.
Bradford Christian Academy, who has a stupid amount of college talent on their squad. Yeah,
they're really good.
So they lost in the state championship, which is unfortunate. But, you know, every one of these guys is a winner at the high school level. I think that is a huge feather in the cap of Pikel. Not only is he landing talented kids, but guys who push their team to win and are arguably the best player on their team. I don't think it's really arguable for the first three. I don't think it's arguably for the fourth either. So they're the best player on their team, and they're going deep into these state playoffs. And that's the kind of mentality you want for kids who are going to be expected to step up next year and kind of help lead this team to unprecedented heights for the program. So,
yeah, I don't want to underrate Dylan Grant either. I know he's not playing basketball this season because he's up back in Canada with his family with some personal issues, but he's not playing, but he is still training. He did take a visit to campus recently as well. Back in, I think it was
February.
February? Was it February? Yeah, it was February, right? Mm-hmm. And like I was told when he walked in the locker room, like you couldn't tell him apart from anyone else because he's so tall. Like he's just got the size. He's like a legitimate 6'7", 6'8", 210. Like he's going to fit in really nicely. And we have him 129 in the rankings. He's a really good prospect. So I think between him, Dortch coming in, those forward spots, those wing spots are going to be kind of shored up, especially with Bailey too, obviously. But it's going to be such a fun year. I am like itching to get to the rack for a game like that first game. I don't care who it is. It could be Lemoyne. It could be Central Connecticut State. Like it's going to be the craziest, nuttiest like atmosphere ever. And then when you get like a big name coming to town, like say like Michigan State or Purdue comes to town next year. Oh my God.
Yeah. Good luck.
Insane.
Be a snake pit. I'm excited for these guys too to actually experience it as players because that's one of the biggest reasons they come here because you visit for a game and you can't help but think like how amazing that experience would be to wear the uniform to upset the number one team in the country as a player on the court. Like that's why they're coming here in large part. They want to experience the rack for themselves as a player, you know, because without that kind of environment. Let's be honest, Rutgers probably isn't landing top players. It's because of how supportive the fan base is and how crazy of an environment the rack is that these guys are coming here. Obviously, having a great coaching staff helps too, but probably the number one thing is playing at that home arena. So,
I mean, easily, like you could point to Ace Bailey. He committed after a game. It was that much of like a hype behind it. He was just like, "I'm doing this. Like that's it." And here we are.
Yep, that was the mag three-pointer in overtime last season against Ohio State. I think he said in an article, I forget who it was, but that he was thinking in his head, like, as it's going to overtime, if Rutgers wins this, I'm going to commit. And sure enough, they did. So let's pivot to some recruiting talk. Rutgers recently scheduled a visitor for the class of 2025 for the spring in Dorian Jones. Now, Dorian was a guy that we had previously talked about visiting in the fall, but he had to reschedule it, and he finally announced when he's rescheduling it, and it's going to be in the middle of April, I think April 11th, if I remember correctly, April 12th.
Yes, I believe that's correct.
So this kid is a Smoke Williamson recruit. He's from the state of Ohio. I think in the latest Rivals 150 that was released today, actually, he is ranked 44th in the country.
54th. That's not updated. That's the old ranking. So he did drop a couple spots.
So he's ranked 54th, but he's still got a pretty lofty ranking. Talk a little bit about this kid and what you're hearing about his recruitment.
Yeah, so he actually previously announced a top like 10 list of schools, and Rutgers was on that list. So was Missouri, who we also scheduled a visit to. I think it's the week after Rutgers, or 2 weeks after Rutgers, something like that. He's been to a couple different schools. He's been to Cincy and Ohio State, obviously the local ones in Ohio. He's just a really good prospect, though. Even though he did drop a little bit in our rankings, I don't think I'd read too much into that. I think it's going to be tough to keep him away from a school like Missouri, because apparently Missouri, like, not just football wise but basketball wise too, has like a crazy war chest. Like, they're also in it for guys like Trey McKinney, who we've mentioned a couple times, and a bunch of other 4 or 5 star guys. They're even in it for the Boozer twins, who are very highly ranked. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where they kind of fall in that category. The fact that he scheduled an official visit says that Missouri's near the top. Now, I'm never going to count out Marlon Williamson, like Coach Smoke. He is a very, very good recruiter. There's been a lot of hype about him. You can actually argue that this offseason he landed the most important player to the team, Jeremiah Williams. He also landed Dylan Grant, who wasn't even ranked when he committed. He's now 129. Yep. Like, he's a very, very good recruiter. So we'll wait and see what happens there. But I think you get him to campus, you see what if he's feeling the love or not, and then kind of go from there. That being said, I think the fact that they're pursuing Dorian Jones now, after him previously canceling a visit, tells me that he's on the next up on the pecking order for shooting guards. Because they did have Trey McKinney at one point. They did have Brandon Storrs at one point, both on campus taking official visits. And I think those two were probably your top two targets. But with Storrs now committed to Georgia Tech and Trey McKinney kind of leaning towards like an Indiana or a Michigan State. Yeah, Indiana, I don't get that one. Doesn't make sense. I get it. Blue Lud, Midwest, whatever.
Well, they might be going through a coaching change this offseason too. So that could totally shift how his recruitments go. Yeah.
But I mean, Michigan State, Tom Izzo, Midwest, Michigan kid, very hard to steal a kid out of Izzo's backyard, especially if he wants him. But Trey McKinney is number 12 in the new rankings. I think he was 13 previously. But I do think Dorian Jones is probably next up on the shooting guard list. So we'll wait and see what happens with these officials. Maybe he commits and doesn't even make the Missouri one.
Yeah, very well could. But we'll see, because, you know, basketball recruiting is a lot more, I wouldn't say cloak and dagger, but it's a lot more covered in kind of mystery. Like, it's a lot harder to get these kids on the phone, get an answer from somebody. Whereas high school football is, you know, you're talking to these kids directly multiple times, updating their recruitments.
Yeah,
it's just a different game. So I'm sure we'll have more after his visit, but an exciting high-level recruit that will be on campus this April.
Yeah, you know what it is. It's just high school football. I can go talk to a kid or his football coach, and they'll give me all the info I need. In high school basketball, it's like, oh, you have to talk to AAU guy here, but no, he has a guy that's up here, and there's a handler, and then there's an uncle, and then there's this guy, and there's this guy that also runs the scouting service in Ohio that knows like more than anything because he's right next to him, and I'm like, dude, like, it's not even worth it.
Yeah, it's like the Charlie Kelly, like, all the red string going different places just to get information from a kid.
It's insane. But he is a very good prospect. He's obviously a little on the skinnier side. You see his photos. He's like 6'3", like 155, 160 maybe. But really good guard skill set. Can dribble, can shoot, can score. All the basics. Nothing crazy. There's a reason he's ranked top 50, top 55, whatever it is.
Yep. So obviously great news there. I kind of wanted to dip my toe into portal stuff. Obviously the portal isn't open until I believe the 18th, but I do think we're going to see an unprecedented for Rutgers amount of portal activity. I think we're going to see a lot of kids enter the portal. And I think we're going to see a lot more activity from Rutgers to try and get pieces around Ace and Dylan for next year. Just from reading some of the tea leaves, Trilly Donovan has a great Discord if you're not a part of it. He's basically said he expects like more than half of college basketball to enter the portal this year.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a wild ride. I can't wait to cover it. I can't wait to kind of, you know, go through the intrigue of it. But what do you expect from the portal this year for Rutgers?
It's going to be interesting. I mean, Trilly's hinted at it already. I think it's going to happen personally, but nothing's set in stone. Mag is kind of like in a weird situation. He obviously hasn't played a lot. A lot of people are talking about him, talking about what his decision is and what he's going to do. He almost left last offseason, so it wouldn't shock me to see him leave this offseason. I think you need to figure out what Cliff's going to do from everything we've been told. He's going to declare for the NBA. He's going to do that whole process again. I don't think he's going to sign with anyone immediately. Of course, he'll get like an NCAA agent or whatever he had last year. And they'll kind of tell him what to what he has to do and stuff like that. But you're probably going to have to wait until Cliff makes the decision to pursue a big man, which is really difficult. Because you're going to have to wait a couple months. Like, and these guys are going to enter the portal immediately, and they're probably already knowing where they're going for the most part.
Yep.
That being said, I've heard some interesting names about entering the portal. I've heard Bane Adango might enter. So that's one to keep an eye on. So also, he's been liking like every single Rutgers Instagram post. So
interesting.
feels like you missed out a little bit, but whatever. Besides the point. Also, Bay Fall, another Bay, it might be entering the portal. I'm hearing that Eric Musselman might be on the move, which would be interesting. So that's also going to complicate a lot of matters, because not only does the portal open during the tournament, which was like the dumbest thing in the world, but it's also coaching changes. There's going to be a ton of coaching changes that are going to happen over the next like month, not even month, next couple weeks. Like Sunday hits Sunday. That's it. End of the season. Like, I'm expecting people to start making announcements that they're going to enter. Technically, they can't enter until what was the date?
The 18th, I believe.
But I expect as soon as the season ends for teams that aren't in the tournament, I guarantee you see people putting out announcements here and there. And it's not going to shock me if Rutgers has five transfer portal guys. It wouldn't shock me one bit. Maybe more. I think that they're going to completely revamp this roster. They know what they have to do this season. It's going to be such a big year, and you can't fumble this bag. Like, it's basically handed to you. You just got to figure it out on who fits well with who. I think you keep maybe three guys. You have to keep these three guys. You have to keep Cliff, I think, because you need a big man. Unless you could find a better big man, which I don't think you're going to. You have to keep Jeremiah. He almost fits this team perfectly to a T. And this one's probably more so because of his recruiting ranking more than anything, but you have to keep Gavin Griffiths. Like, he's starting to show more potential. If he can figure out his shot next year, sky's the limit.
Yeah, and I also want to highlight that I don't think the staff is they are aware of the team's strengths and weaknesses.
No, they know.
And they know that they've struggled mightily offensively, and they are not going to put themselves in that situation again next year. I'll just say that.
Nope.
So I just want to put it out there that I do expect a much different offseason than we're used to as Rutgers fans, which for us is great because it's going to be a ton of stuff to talk about. But I just want to put that out there. Obviously, nothing's set in stone, but just be on the lookout because things are going to be wild this offseason.
We were told that a couple guys are already going to enter. Like, we kind of know names already, but we're not going to reveal it yet. But it's something to definitely monitor over the next couple weeks. And like I said, Sunday might hit, and then all of a sudden, boom, that's it. They're entering. Or they'll put out a little tweet saying, hey, I'm entering the portal.
Yeah, I mean, the conference tournament is next week too, so I don't think until that. But yeah, it won't be long. There will be guys who pretty quickly enter the portal.
Yeah. I think they're going to enter almost immediately. Yep. As soon as that season ends. Yeah.
And we'll have everything the moment it happens. So you're not going to miss out as long as you have us. If you subscribe to us on your specific podcast feed or on YouTube, make sure you're following on both those. It's the easiest way to make sure that new videos and new podcasts are right in your stream.
Mm-hmm.
We do have another giveaway we want to do. This one is for home field apparel. So we have two $50 gift cards we want to give away for home field. We're going to run this a little bit differently than the past. So in order to qualify, you have to, one, be subscribed to the YouTube channel. That's a requirement for this one. Two is you have to leave a comment either in the video below, or we'll give you two entries if you leave a podcast review on Apple Podcasts. So if you do one of those two things, you'll be entered. You'll get two entries if you write the review, though, and just one for a podcast, a YouTube comment on this video. We'll give away these gift cards, let's say 2 weeks from now. So the end of the basketball season. So the 18th, the day the portal opens, we'll give these away. Just type, what should we type?
Mm. That's a tough one. I don't know, but something basketball related. This is March.
Yeah, type "this is March" into either the YouTube video comments or for two entries into the Apple podcast review that you submit.
Not a ton of Rutgers gear on here, mind you. There's only like five different items, but I mean, you can get a free t-shirt out of this at least.
Yep.
Or maybe a $12 hoodie, $20 hoodie, $22 hoodie.
Yeah, they don't have nearly as good of stuff as Night and Day, nor do they have nearly the variety. So we're not recommending this site. We just had gotten two free gift cards to this, so we're just giving them away.
So feel free. There's random stuff on here too. It's like every school possible. So like, you know, one of your kids goes to like one of those random schools, go buy something for them.
Yeah. I don't know. So that's the giveaway for this month. And our final thing is Rutgers baseball has its home opener tonight. They're playing at 6:30, I believe, against Wagner.
0-10.
Now, as of now, that game's still on. I know that there's some inclement weather this afternoon, but Rutgers is off to an incredible start in the baseball season. They've won every series that they've had this year so far. I think they have a 9-2 overall record.
Yep.
And there's some legit buzz about some of these guys on Rutgers' team in terms of being MLB prospects, like
Tony Santamaria.
Tony Santamaria's had a crazy start to his season. The shortstop, JKG, has had a great start.
Yeah.
Their starter on Sunday pitched an absolute gem. I think he had like seven innings, no earned runs, and 10 Ks.
Cinnabaldi, I think.
Yeah, Cinny, I think his nickname is.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a really fun team to watch. I mean, from early returns, I think this potentially could be an NCAA tournament team too. So
we'll kind of find out a little bit next week. I know this weekend they play High Point in a 3-game series. That's a 3-9 High Point team. They're not that good, so they should do pretty well there. And then next week it's Tuesday, Wednesday against North Carolina.
That'll be a big time matchup for sure.
That's the big one. Yeah.
They also have a series with UConn coming up this month as well, which is one of the top programs in the Northeast. So
yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I know UNC's 10-2 right now. Yeah, so it's going to be definitely interesting to see how they play this one out. I mean, they're playing top competition. I'll say it. Steve Owens recognized the fact that they didn't make it. What was it, last year because of the RPI? Mm-hmm. The year before, whatever it was.
Yep.
And he's completely flipped that around because now he's going to play UConn. He's going to play North Carolina. Like, no more. I mean, there's some shitters in there. Like Wagner's right there, but you never know. I think they have a good shot, and they'll probably at least, in the very least, be in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, yep, for sure.
So, be a good one.
All right, that's all I got, Richie. Anything else you wanted to hit on before we head out?
No new update for rankings today. Nigel James took a nice little leap, and he's probably your number one point guard prospect or target in the 2025 class. I know we didn't mention him before, but keep an eye on that. Friday, Dylan Harper will be at the rack. We already mentioned. A lot of official visitors have started to pop up. I think we're up to 9, I think, in total for football this summer. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I lied. They also have we've confirmed a couple unofficial visitors as well. So keep an eye on the boards. That thread's right on the message board. Every name's on there. Some interesting ones. Some Florida guys, some Midwest guys, Connecticut guys. So football starts a couple weeks now. I'm itching for that to start, and we can finally see who's going to win that quarterback battle, because it's going to be an intriguing one, because here's some good things so far about winter workouts.
Yeah, I'm so excited to hear anything that can be reported from spring practice, because, I mean, there's just this is probably the most talented team that Rutgers has had, arguably since it entered the Big Ten. And there's so many intriguing positional battles, mostly just quarterback, and quarterback is always going to be the most important battle. And there's a legit two to maybe even three-way battle this year at the position, so.
I think offensive line is going to be really intriguing, that right side.
Yeah,
I think you have three locked in. The other two, I mean, Sutton was great. Can he hold on again? That's the issue. So we'll see. It's going to be fun.
Absolutely. We want to thank everybody for listening. Stay tuned to your feeds, because news drops, we will have something to you as soon as we humanly possibly can get something out to you. But for me and Rich, it's been another edition of the Nerd Herd Podcast.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.